title of our Sunday school lesson today is Silent Voices Yet Speaking. And our devotional and background study comes from Revelations, the 14th chapter, verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time I'll ask teachers to take charge.
Good to be back at church this morning. Thank Terry for taking my place on such short notice last week. Everyone has a Sunday school book. Let's turn to our lesson today, which is entitled Silent Voices Yet Speaking. I don't know that I have a lot to say about today, so Terry, if you studied, you might can pick up some of the slack. Our reading lesson begins in the 11th chapter of Hebrews in the first verse. Now, I know there's some conversation among scholars about who wrote Hebrews. But I like to think Paul did. It sounds like his speech, his writings. And so when I say this is Paul's writing, I'm saying it because that's what I believe. It's not necessarily what everybody else believes. But I like to think that Paul wrote Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded by them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So our lesson is on faith. Now, faith is a mighty big word, and it's something we all have had to experience at one time or another. Otherwise, we're not to be considered children of God. So, if I understand everybody, and I believe I do, you have all been saved. And if you have all been saved, then you've experienced true faith. Because in, well, I may not get this right, so I'll just read it. It's an old scripture in the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter of Ephesians. And this is Paul. And he said, "For by grace are you saved." Now that grace is the mercy of God. "Through faith." You're saved through faith. "And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God." Now, how true that is this morning. But it says that we are saved through faith. And that it is not of anything that you have done. It's not of yourselves. It's not anything you've done. So you have an understanding of what faith is. Faith is something that you just really can't physically grab a hold of. It's something it's invisible. It's something that you deeply believe in your heart is going to happen. Or in our case, we deeply believe in our heart that some things has already happened, even though we weren't there to see it. We heard about it. And I'll even go so much a little further and say, we felt it. Things that happened thousands of years ago, we understand to be true, even though we weren't there. Now, sometimes I think that these people had a lot more faith than we do, thousands of years ago, because we learned from our reading lesson that they all died in faith, not having received the promise. They had not seen Jesus. And I wonder, people in today's era knows about Jesus because you can read about him. Now, that doesn't mean you're saved. That just means that you know about Jesus because you can read about him. And when you read the scriptures, you read that he was the Son of God. So mentally or physically, you understand that there was a man named Jesus. He came and died in this world, and he was the Son of God. So you know that these people that lived prior to that time had nothing but the prophets and their testimonies and the things that they told them. And these people believed that somewhere out in the future somewhere that a Savior was going to be brought into this world and that he would die for our sins. They believed that and they were saved. Contrary to what this world would teach you, they were saved just like I was when I was a 7-year-old boy. There was no difference in how. There's no difference in how Moses was saved and how I was saved. We both used our faith in God. And we both felt that saving power. And sometimes that kind of makes you feel funny that you and Moses share something. Or me and Moses share something. Or me and David share something, you know. David talked about coming under conviction. He said the pains of hell got a hold of him. Well, I know exactly what that means. I don't have any doubt as to how that feels because I experienced that myself. So you see, their experience, we're sitting here reading about it. Silent voices yet speaking because we understand what these people went through. Now, and us living today, here and now, we have this responsibility that our own lives might live in the hearts and minds of our loved ones, our friends, and our neighbors that long after we're gone, that there'll be something that they can look at our life and see what we've got and what we've done with it. You know, they kind of go hand in hand, what we got and what we do with it. Just as these people who lived thousands of years ago, their lives live today. Now, let me give you an example. This may not be a very good example, but it's one I thought of as I was studying this lesson. In the 17th chapter of John, we find that the Last Supper that the Lord had with his apostles, that before he was taken out and crucified, John tells us that he prayed. Before he even went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed a prayer. And let me tell you what he said. One of the things he said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He's talking to his Father. "I finished that work." And then he goes on to say, "I have given them my word." He's talking about his disciples. "I have given them my word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they should take them out of the world, but they should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Talking about his apostles. "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Now listen to what he says. "Neither pray I for these alone." Talking about his apostles. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, he offered up a prayer for me, and he offered up a prayer for you. He said, I'm not praying for these alone. I'm praying for those that came. And you know, that prayer, we're speaking of silent voices yet speaking, that prayer is still circling this world today. That prayer is as valid today as it was when Jesus spoke it. Now, I was fortunate. I consider myself extremely fortunate and thankful that I was raised in a family that believed. Now, a lot of people don't have that connection. There's a lot of, and even God's people, there's a lot of people that have been saved that don't have that connection. They found God through other means. They found him on their own, searching for him in some shape, form, or fashion. But I consider myself extremely fortunate because I was raised, as I had an uncle say, I was rocked in a Baptist cradle. And I was. That's all I've ever known. From my earliest memories, this work right here is all I have ever known. And so I have ties to a family of aunts and uncles and grandparents that I can look back on and tell you today that I can believe with all my heart that the prayers and requests that they offered up are still out there. They haven't been used up yet. They're still circling around. And I know that my grandmother offered up a prayer for me. And I know I have some aunts that offered up a prayer and uncles. That today is still as valid as the day they uttered them. And we have that, or I have that, and I'm sure that you all have some thoughts and some connections and some ties that you can look back on from years gone past and have such fond memories of things that were done and things were said, and that you can sit and contemplate on. That we're here today, and just as my, or let's just say our, just as our ancestors did, our faith today needs to set the same example that their faith set. That people that are coming up after us, our kin and our loved ones, it's a succession of generations that are coming along. And if the world is allowed to stand, there'll be another generation that'll come in behind us. And if the world is allowed to stand then, there'll be another generation that'll come in behind us. We have this responsibility that our life be remembered in a way that people will look back. We don't need to break this chain. You know, this chain's been going on for thousands of years. We don't need to be the ones that break it. We need to live our lives that people coming after us can see and can think about and know. Because I can sit and think about the times I was in church with my grandmothers, my grandmother and my aunts, and can see them today. I can see my grandmother shouting, walking around the church. I can still hear her tell me about the time that she got saved. And that had an effect on me. You can't say that that doesn't have an effect on you. When you see your loved ones working and serving God, that's the silent voices yet speaking today. That's those that went on before us and laid a path for us to follow. And this path leads right to that heavenly home. And that's where I'm going. And when I'm called from this life, I pray that I be on that path, that I still be living for God and doing the things that He would be pleased with, so that not only my loved ones, but those around me might just see a little something that I did. Just a little. I don't mean to sound to be bragging, but you know what I mean. We all should have a desire that our lives be such that God would be pleased with, and that those around us might be affected by it. I mean, we got a purpose here in this life, and it's not just to sit and do nothing. We got something to do. We've got prayers that need to be prayed. We got people that need to be spoken to. We got things that need to be done, that by our actions the world will be able to see some results. You know, there's a world of sinners out there. A world of sinners. People who stand in need of our prayers. We need to be working, praying for those people. All the above things that we've read today, all the above that you look at here, speaks of faith. And because of their faith, each one of these people that we read about Enoch, he was righteous in God's eye and he was translated. That means that he never saw death. God took him. Because of his righteousness and because of his faith. And by faith, Noah built an ark. Sit and think about that just a minute. By faith, Noah built an ark. Out in the middle of wherever, he built a boat. It wasn't near any water. He did that because he believed God. Would we build a boat? If God told you to build a boat today, would you build a boat? Or would you be too worried about what people are saying about you? About this blithering idiot that lives next door to you over here is building a boat. Noah went out there and started building a boat. Nobody had ever seen it rain. Nobody understood what flood was. Nobody had ever seen a drop of water come from the sky. Noah said, we're going to build a boat. because God is fixing to bring retribution on this world. And our scriptures today said that he saved his house because of what he did. And by faith, Abraham moved his whole family. Just picked up. Took off and headed for a place he'd never seen before. Didn't know where he was going, but he followed God. Now today, thousands of years later, we read about that. We understand why he did it. We understand where he went. And we understand the promise of God. So I pray today that we look at our scripture. We understand the lesson and what our responsibilities are. And we think about our own life and how our own faith should set the example for the generations that are to come. And by that, this church might grow and might sustain itself throughout however many coming years there are that God should allow this world to stand. But and that which also brings to mind, I said that sometimes I think that the people we read about in the scriptures had more faith than what we do because they never say anything. Well, let me tell you that I just had a thought cross my mind, and that may not be true. Because the scriptures say that someday, this world's going to end. Now, I've never seen that. We've never known a time when I felt that this world was nearing an end. Even with all the wars that this world has had, I never thought that the world was going to end. But the Bible says it is. You know, the Bible says this world's going to come to end. Well, let me tell you, I believe it with all my heart. I'm not seeing it. But I believe what God said about the matter. I believed him when he saved my soul. Why wouldn't I believe him when he says this world's going to end? We all should go through our daily lives believing that the world is going to come to end. You know, if we all went through our lives each day believing that the world was going to end any second, we might be different people. You know, we might have a whole different mindset. But you know, his own people, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, they believed, if you read the scriptures, most of them believed that the end of time was coming in their generation. Now, I don't know what they were thinking when they died and they hadn't seen the end of time, because they all believed, for the most part, they believed that it was going to end then. Well, here we are 2,000 years later. We're still waiting for the end. But that doesn't change a thing. Not one thing. This world's still going to end. We just don't know when. And I don't know if it's going to be this generation or the next generation or 10 generations down. I don't have any idea. But we need to lay out an example for people to follow, that everybody might come to believe that God is God. I am that I am. Tell them that's who sent you. I am that I am. And we need to lay it out for these people and let them understand that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And that should be our life focus. And that way, that once we die and leave this world, maybe our prayers and our works and our efforts that we put forth might be remembered somewhere down the line, that it might help somebody. Not that we gain any honor from it, but that God's name might be professed throughout the land. Anyone have any thoughts or anything? It's about what I had. If not, Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?